You know, I'm going to bring a message here today. God, you know, God, in order for me to be able to communicate biblical truth in a way that's real and lasting, God really has to build it into my life first. And really this week, honestly, God did that in a pretty painful way. And so I just really need to pray for me and at the same time pray for you. So we just pray together. Father, we just, we come before you, Lord, with a lot of junk, God. Some junk that happened to us, some junk that maybe people brought upon themselves, just some junk from living in a sinful, pain-filled world. God, there's just a lot of people coming in here, Lord, with stuff in their life right now that just hurts. God, I'm one of them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would, by your word and by your spirit, do something supernatural in this place, God, something that I could never do by my own words, Lord. God, I can't convince anybody of the truths that are in your word, but God, would you just use your word in a powerful way to bring people hope today that need hope? God, they just need a word of encouragement and of hope. And God, I pray that it would just be a powerful, powerful morning for people who need that here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And all in agreement said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. If you notice, I've got a deeper voice than normal this morning. And if I didn't have to be sick to have it, I would totally love to have this voice all the time. I would have had so many more girlfriends in high school. So, but hey, you're going to need a Bible for this, okay? So if you don't have one, we love giving them out. All you have to do is put your hand up and somebody's going to get you a Bible. No shame in that, okay? Just put that hand up. And you're going to want to turn to Psalm 69. We're just going to land in Psalm 69 and we're going to stay in Psalm 69 here today. So open up your Bible to Psalm 69. And as you're doing that, let me give you a little bit of a preview of what's coming up. The series after this series that we're in right now, beginning August 9th. So we've got this weekend, then two more weekends. And then we go into August 9th. And August 9th is going to be really what we believe will be our biggest series of the year. It's a series that we've been working on for a year and a half now. It's called To Ignite. And it's a new marriage ministry that we've been building for a year and a half. And God has just uniquely blessed this church and brought some investors to really resource us to be able to do this right. And then brought Gary Smalley to be part of this team. And then Ted Cunningham, both best-selling authors in marriage ministry. And Tobin Hine, the publisher of The Message, brought them on staff with us and started. And we're working with Gary and Ted from a distance, but Tobin's right here with us. And you're going to see Gary and Ted. They're going to be here very often communicating. And this is just like an unbelievable gift from God to be able to put this together. And I'm so excited. So would you please just make sure you start inviting your friends August 9th to come to that series. In the next 2 weeks, you're going to find a little insert in your program where you're going to be able to invite your friends. But you're going to be thinking about who you'll invite. And then also when you invite people, I would ask that you please, please, please do your best. Do your best, okay, to not come to this service. Come to either Saturday night. I'm sorry, man. I love you. I'm glad you're here right now. And I don't mean to lay this guilt trip on you, but if you I know you see empty seats around you right now because we're in the middle of July, but this place, even if we did nothing, it's going to fill up completely. We're already pretty much turning people away at 10:30. And then we expect to see about 1,000 more people here by August 9th and August 16th. And so there just won't be, we'll literally be turning people away. And so you would do us just a great honor if you would just say, you know what, I'm going to share my chair and go to one of the Saturday night services or go to the noon service. That would just be super, super helpful. And I thought about some like creative, catchy, like advantages for going, you know, but, and really the deal is this. If you just partner with us to reach people for Jesus, this is a great way you can do it. When you give up your seat on Sunday morning and go to one of the other services, you're literally making room for a family to be able to come in and hear about Jesus that we would be turning away. So if you'd just consider that and just pray about that, we would really appreciate your help. And I know for some of you, when you think of marriage series, you're thinking, oh, well, I'm single, so I'm just going to check out for a month. And like, can I just speak to you for a minute, okay? It says in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, that marriage is to be honored by who? All. By all. We need to have our kids growing up honoring marriage. We need teenagers growing up honoring marriage, looking at their parents going, that's a good thing. It disturbs me to hear so many teenagers going, I just don't even want to get married. Why would I ever want to have that? We need to teach people to honor marriage. And single people, I think this is actually the best series for you. The best time to learn about how to have a good marriage is before you get locked into one. Okay? So please, 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 single people, don't check out, man. Come here, right? Come in here and learn about what you ought to be looking for, right? So yeah, I'm actually, and so August 9th, you want to get ready for that. And then today we're going to continue on our series called Do Love Walk. And it's all about our vision as a church, right? From Micah 6:8. I've shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so we're talking about this series, we're talking about how to really be those people, how to really live it, how to not just sing the song, but actually move our feet, how to not just have it on our program, but really live it out as a church. And we've taken some good steps this past year, some beautiful things are happening, but we're talking about now, these last couple of weeks, we've talked about how to be people of justice wherever we go, and not waiting for the church to kind of set up another program to get plugged into, but in your workplace and in your schools and in your families and wherever God has you to be a person of justice. And this week and next week, we're going to talk about that sort of the middle part of that vision, loving mercy, loving mercy. And as we were planning and praying and talking about this series, we're like, you know, we need to spend 2 weeks on this because yes, we want to be a church that loves giving mercy to hurting people. We call this place a safe place for hurting people, right? We want to be a safe place and we want to give mercy to people, but you can't give what you haven't received. And so we want to spend a week, and that's this week, on just receiving Christ's mercy and just embracing the fullness of his mercy and just appreciating it and loving receiving mercy so that we can give it to others. So that's what this message is about. That's why we're in Psalm 69. Let's go ahead and begin. Psalm 69, the first five verses. I'm just going to warn you right now, the first five verses are pretty depressing, okay? Because David writes it from a pretty dark place. But trust me, okay? By the time you get to the end, it's very hope-filled. So let's begin. Psalm 69, verse 1 says this. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. He's talking figuratively about the amount of pain and junk in his life. It's like, I've had it up to here. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. Have you ever like stood in a swamp and you're just kind of like, you know, your feet are sinking in up to your knees and you're like, you have no foothold and it's just sinking. It's just like sinking. And I have come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me. I'm worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I'm forced to restore what I did not steal. You know my folly, O God. My guilt is not hidden from you. All right, this is written by David. David became king over all Israel. He was what God called a man after his own heart. Wouldn't you love to be called that? Wouldn't you love that, Ray, for God's sake? Ray, you are a man after God's own heart. I mean, just like, what a beautiful description. But let's not kid ourselves. Let's not take these biblical characters and elevate them to the status like they're superheroes and they didn't have faults and failings and difficult times, because just like us and just like me and just like you, David had a life full of pain and sorrow, and there was sin and grief and brokenness. And he, in the middle of one of these just deep, deep, dark times, David writes this psalm, Psalm 69, and he's just in the middle of some serious junk going on in his life. And he's trying to describe just how bad it is. And these first five verses, it's as if he's saying, listen, if you can kind of imagine, this is water that's rising. He's like, I've got all this junk rising in my life. And it's just, the water's just getting higher and higher. And it's getting harder to keep my feet. And the water just keeps getting higher and higher. And I'm getting kind of freaked out. I'm not sure how much longer I can take this, God. And then the water just keeps rising. And God, I'm just worn out. I'm calling for help. And I'm just barely keeping my head afloat. And I'm just struggling here, God, and the pain and the junk is almost too much for me to bear. And people keep saying, I got to cry out to you and I got to go to church, but I've been doing that so much and my throat is already parched and the water still this high. And God, I don't have any more words to pray. My eyes fail looking for you. I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. I'm just beginning to feel hopeless and worn out. And God, I don't even know if I can take it anymore. I'm just barely keeping my head above water. Have you ever felt that way? Where you just, I can remember feeling that way. I remember at one point in my life, and I was in ministry at this point, the pain being so great and the humiliation that went with that pain being so deep, I didn't want anybody to see my face. I didn't even want to walk outside because I was afraid somebody would see my face. I had a mailbox that was outside. And I remember thinking, I don't even want to go to that mailbox because if I go there, somebody might see me. And I just like the pain and the hurt and the humiliation that ran so deep. And I remember thinking, this thing is so incredible, painful, incredibly, I just wish I could put an end to it. And I remember thinking, I have a gun in the basement. I mean, it was an option. The pain was that deep and that severe. And maybe you're in that place today. Maybe you're just like barely hanging on. I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it's a marriage that has just fallen apart and you just don't know how to fix it. And you're beginning to just, your eyes are failing, looking for the Lord just to help you with this thing. And your throat is parched asking for help. And you don't, or maybe it's a kid that just is just so turning on you, or maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a business partner that just stabbed you in the back, and there's just this pain and junk, and this is how David felt. He's just like, I'm getting swallowed up by this thing, and I'm just sinking, and I can't get a foothold. And that's a really, really desperate place to be. And the thing is, we can get to that place in all different ways, right? There's all different ways that the junk can kind of come into your life and start piling up. Some of it is junk that's inflicted upon you that's just unjust. Sometimes people do things to you that you don't deserve. It's an unjust action, and they just, and like a spouse is just like betraying you, right? Or a business partner lying and cheating, or somebody just deeply wounding you. And you thought you were friends, and all of a sudden you feel this knife in your back, and it's just like an unjust action. That's part of what's happening to David. Look at verse 4, chapter 69, verse 4. He says, "Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause. Those who seek to destroy me, I'm forced to restore what I did not steal." This is unjust. There's just junk that's happening in my life because people are being unjust to me. Other people are making sinful choices and it's affecting me. And some of you, maybe that's what's causing the junk to start rising in your life and the water just getting higher. Sometimes it's inflicted upon you just out of just because we live in just a hurtful, pain-filled world, right? And stuff happens. Like maybe you recently just lost a loved one, or maybe you recently just got some really bad news from the doctor, and you're just, and it just feels so heavy, and the water just feels like it's rising, and it just, there's all different places this junk can start piling up. Some of the junk we come by honestly, right? Some of the junk is because of our own sin. Some of the junk in David's life was because of his own sin. If you're familiar with the story of David, it included things like adultery and murder and a lot of pain that went with both of those things. And sometimes we can bring junk into our own life that look at verse 5. David, his own life, he recognizes some of the junk is his own stuff. Verse 5, "You know my folly, O God. My guilt is not hidden from you." Right? I mean, however we get there, it could be junk that you bring upon yourself from your own sin. It could be just junk from living in a pain-filled world. It could be junk from the sin of other people. But however you get there, this is a really desperate place to be. And if you've never been there, I say this a lot. If you've never been there, just live longer. Okay? You're going to get there. We all get there times. And if you're like, no, you don't understand. I'm a leader type. This is King David. King of all Israel, one of the most godly men to ever walk the planet. And he was there many times. Okay, you're going to find yourself in that place. So at some point, just struggling. This past week, I took our staff together and we did a staff retreat. And it was just this powerful time where we pulled aside from the everyday routine of planning and this and that. And we said, let's just get together. Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's envision for what God might have for us in the future. Let's talk about how we can make the most of that and how we can really just bless people. And the thing that I didn't expect was the thing that was the most powerful was actually just hearing the stories of our staff people. Because what we did is we've got a lot of new staff. We just said, hey, we want to go around and just tell us your story. And I was thinking, honestly, I was thinking it was a little time filler kind of thing. But it actually became the retreat. Because as we went around, we didn't have time for everybody. But as we went around, each one of our staff people that told their story, it was just like this powerful story. And in the midst of every single one of the stories, there was this moment of utter despair, like this brokenness, like the rock just landed and just flattened this person. And when they're telling the story, all of us in the room are like, we're completely quiet, and you could hear a pin drop. Oh my gosh. And it was just like this moment of despair, this season of despair in their life. There's this horrible, painful thing that happened to them. But for each one of those stories, for each person, that moment of despair actually became a turning point in their life. It actually became something that God used, because for each one of them in their story, at that moment of despair, instead of running from God, they continued to cry out to God. And God turned to them and gave them mercy, and they received an amazing mercy that absolutely changed their life and reset the trajectory of their lives. And God used that powerful, that hurting, hurtful thing, that deeply hurting thing, to show them his mercy and to change their life. It's just beautiful. And so they cried out to God. They cried out to God. Instead of running from God, they cried out for mercy. That's what David does. In Psalm 69, he's crying. He's like, oh God, I just can't take it anymore. And I'm losing hope. And God, I'm just losing it here. But instead of giving up, instead of saying, I'm done, David cries out to the Lord again. He's like, listen, my throat's already parched from crying out, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep crying out to you, Lord. And I'm going to appeal to your great mercy to rescue me. Check it out, verse 13. Psalm 69, verse 13. He says, but I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. I love this verse 16. Listen to his prayer. Instead of turning from God, instead of going, God, I'm just done with you. I'm done with this pain, and you don't care, and I'm giving up. Instead of that, look at verse 16. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love and your great mercy. Now check this out. Turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I'm in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me because of my foes. You see what David does? As he's just struggling, and like some of us are right now, just catch, instead of just going, I'm done, I'm not praying, I'm out, I'm done. Instead of that, he's like, God, would you please answer me? Because God, I need you. Would you rescue me? God, in your great mercy, would you turn to me? It's just a simple prayer. God, would you just turn to me? And that's exactly what God does. And God turns to David and just rescues him and delivers him. And if you're familiar with the life of David, it's just this history of from a young boy all the way up into his kingdom, that he's just continued to rescue David from the lion and from the bear and from Goliath and from Saul and from the Philistines, just over and over and over again, rescuing David as David cried out for mercy. And that's why David could write the rest of this psalm, because he knew that God was a mighty deliverer, a merciful and mighty deliverer of his people. So check out what he says here in verse 30. David says this, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This is the same guy that wrote the first five verses. He says, this will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hoofs. The poor will see and be glad. And you who seek God, may your hearts live. Because the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him and seas and all that move in them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah, and people will settle there and possess it. See, David knew that God was a merciful and mighty deliverer of his people. And if you turn to him, he will turn to you and he will deliver you. That's why I love one of my favorite verses of scripture. It's actually in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9. It says this, the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. That Hebrew word for compassion and mercy, it's the same thing. He's merciful. And I love this. He will not turn his face from you if you turn to him. It's a promise of God. He will not turn his face away from you. If you turn to him, he will turn to you. He will answer. He will rescue. And I think some of us were under this illusion that God doesn't care, that he isn't merciful, that he's just had it with you. And maybe you're one of these people that you know, the junk that's in your life is just the pile of stuff is so heavy. And a lot of it maybe you brought upon yourself, and you're just thinking that God hates you. And he's like, no, no, no. I totally love you. And if you'll turn to me, I will turn to you. I'm waiting. Just keep, come back and turn to me. He is, our God is by nature, he is merciful. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way. He says in Jeremiah chapter 3, go proclaim this message toward the north. Return faithless, Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am, this is how God describes himself, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. God says, I'm merciful. Prophet Daniel wrote this, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. That verse kind of sums up the whole story of the Bible, right? God says, I want you to go this way. Pretty much the story of the Bible is people going, forget you, God, I'm going this way. And you can begin, maybe you've been going that way for a long time, and you're just beginning to think, I'm not even sure God even wants me back. I bet you God, I have this picture that God's up there going, pfft. But see, that's just not the picture of the God of the Bible. Even though he says, even when you're running from me, even when you're rebelling from me, I'm just going, come on, I love you, come on back, just come on back. I totally love you. And if you'll turn to me, I'm right here already, and I will turn to you, and I will just embrace you and forgive you and show you mercy. And some of you that are really struggling, you're thinking that God doesn't want it. You just need to know he's merciful. Some of you just need to be reminded of that truth. He is merciful. He's the perfect picture of mercy. When he tries to describe to us how to be merciful to one another, he says, just be merciful like me, right? Don't do it like me. That'd be bad. It's not my number one spiritual gift. Luke 6:36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, right? Hey, some of us just need to be reminded that, you know, he's infinitely, his mercies are new every morning. They never run out. Whatever junk you're going through, God is still there with mercy. And some of you just need to hear that. He's merciful. He wants you back. He wants you to turn to him. Some of you think that he wants you, but I'm not sure if he's willing. And some of you think that he's merciful, like, kind of like your grandmother is merciful, right? Like grandma is merciful in the sense that she has warm feelings towards you and wants what's best for you, but she can't really change anything. She's really old, right? And so my mom, yeah. But God's not like that, right? Because listen, our God is both perfectly merciful and, this is going to be a great spot for an amen in just a second, so get yourself ready. Our God is perfectly merciful and he is perfectly mighty. All right, very good, very good. Perfectly merciful, perfectly mighty, right? Because here's the thing. He can do whatever he sets out to do. There's nothing stopping God. He's the creator of the universe. And if he says, I will turn to you if you turn to me, and when God turns you to deliver you, there is nothing that he can't do. He can take away what needs to be taken away. He can add what needs to be added. He can change what needs to be changed. He can repair what's broken. He can heal what's hurting. He can bless what needs to be blessed. He's fully capable to do whatever is needed to deliver you from that thing that's causing you to just be. And I recognize that when I say this, there are some of you. And I've got a picture of a person in my mind. I told you God had to sort of imprint this one on my heart this week. And Friday night, I got a call 1 a.m. from somebody that's very dear to me. And just like this unbelievable pain that I just want to jump in the middle of, and God, and some of you, you're in the middle of this thing, and you're like that person that called, and you just think, you know what, my thing is so bad, and my thing is so far gone, that you're just naive to think that my thing could turn around. That's just pastor talk. That's just pie in the sky church talk. Because my thing is way too big, way too far gone. And yeah, that's good for other people in the church. But my thing, no. And if that's you today, I just, out of loving concern for you, can I just say this? If our God is the creator of the universe, if the moon and the stars really declare who he is, right? If he set them in motion, if he scooped up the oceans in the palm of his hand, if he so personally cared for you that he would knit you together in your mother's womb, that he would so love you that he would send his own son into this cesspool to die on a cross and pour out his life for you. And if he is all powerful to be able to raise us from the dead, if this is the God that we serve, isn't it a little naive to think that he's overwhelmed with your junk? Isn't it just a little naive to think that he can create the universe in a day, but for whatever reason, when it comes to your junk, he's up in heaven, he's just kind of like wringing his hands, and he's like, I'm not sure, and he's like, you know, got the whiteboard out, and he's ideating with the angels of some possible solution, and there's like, I don't know. Like, really? Right? I mean, isn't that silly? And we think that way. I think that way when I'm in the middle of the, sometimes I can think like, I guess God ran out of good ideas, right? And we can think that, right? And we just need to be reminded. Listen, can we just dispense of that weak, small, naive, unbiblical view of God and embrace him for who he really is? That he is merciful and he is mighty. And when he turns to you to deliver you, there is nothing that can stop our God because he is all powerful and all things are possible with him. Amen? You just need to embrace that. Yes, it's possible. Your thing is not too far gone. And then he's willing, right? Because some of you think, well, maybe he's merciful and he's mighty, yes, and he set things in motion, but he doesn't really personally care about me. I'm not sure he's personally willing. And you just need to be reminded of this truth. Scripture says, no, if you personally turn to him, he will personally turn to you. And maybe just even some simple truths to be reminded of. The reason why you're sitting here right now and able to take that next breath that you're about to take is because God gave it to you. It says that he sustains all things, including me and you. And he's sustaining you right now because right now he's showing you mercy. And the reason why you haven't sunk already is because he's being merciful to you right now. And then we need to be reminded of the cross, right? The ultimate picture of God's mercy. The ultimate proof that God is personally merciful, that he so loved the world, including you personally, that he would send his own son to pour his life out on a cross. There is no question that God is personally merciful. He's already proven that. The question is, will you turn to him? Will you receive his mercy by turning to him rather than turning away from him when the water's rising? And for some of you that you're just ready, I mean, you're just the water's rising, and you're just, can I just speak to you for a second because you're ready to give up? For some of you, maybe the water's only about like up to here, and you're like, this isn't so bad. I think I could do this for a while, and it just, okay. It's probably not going to work. And you know, it'd really be a good idea to actually turn to God here rather than waiting till it gets here. You're like, oh, why didn't I do this earlier? Right. But so anyway, the water's like, you know, here and it's getting, but for some of you, it's rising. For some of you, it's deep already. And you're barely holding on and your throat is parched and you've already prayed but you haven't seen any deliverance yet. And you're ready to give up. You're ready to just bail out. You're ready to just say, forget about it, God. I'm tired. I have no more words to pray. I have no more things to say. I'm done. And my words to you, and I believe God's message very clearly is this: don't give up. As long as you have air to breathe, you cry out to the Lord for mercy. And in his perfect timing, he will deliver you. In his perfect timing, he will give you exactly what you need to get through this thing. And I don't know what it will be for you. Maybe you're praying for this thing to be taken away and God's going to, you know, maybe he's not going to take it away, but maybe what he's going to do is actually just give you strength to get through it. Maybe he's actually going to give you a peace that surpasses understanding, and people are going to look at you and go, how do you get through this thing? You're like, I don't know. I just have this peace that I can't even explain. Maybe he will take away that thing. Maybe he will change that heart. I don't know what it'll look like for you, but I just know this, that if you turn to him, he will turn to you, and he is merciful and he is mighty and he will deliver you. You know what I just learned from personal experience too, and from scripture, is that oftentimes when God chooses to deliver his people and to extend mercy, he oftentimes chooses to extend that mercy through another person, through somebody who's been here before and turned to the Lord and been rescued, and now they can come alongside. And for some of you, you've cried out and your throat is parched, and see, God has surrounded you with people that are able to give you a foothold, but you need to turn to somebody and you just need to say, I need help. I confess, I need help, because sometimes God wants to extend that mercy through other people. Maybe for you, maybe you're a woman who's just really hurting, and it's going to be another woman in our women's ministry that's going to come alongside and just bless you and help you get a foothold. Maybe your marriage is struggling, and maybe it'll be this new marriage ministry to Ignite, and this thing's going to help you get a foothold. Or maybe it'll be somebody in our Celebrate Recovery ministries, like our brother Clayton, who's going to come along, and maybe you've got all this junk that's in your life, and you're barely keeping it afloat, and somebody who's been there before, who's been almost sinking in the mire and almost ready to give up, but turn to the Lord, is going to come alongside and help you get a foothold, and he's just going to help you catch your breath, right? Help you go, you know, I think I can get, and there's still a lot of junk, but I think I can get through this now because I've got a foothold. And some of you just need to reach out to a person and say, I need help, and God's going to extend mercy to you through that person. Maybe it'll be somebody like Clayton. Wouldn't matter if you just give Clayne a big hand.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
For those of you that don't know, Clayne runs our Celebrate Recovery ministry here every Friday night at 7 p.m. And it's a place where no matter how deep the water is, you can find people that are going to extend mercy to you. Every Friday night here at 7
Amen.
P.m. Right on?
Amen.
So I've asked Clayne to come and just share a couple stories. I know you've got hundreds, including your own story, right? Of being to the place of, I don't know if I can go any longer, but then seeing people turn and put their trust in the Lord and seeing lives change. Could you just share maybe a couple stories of how you've seen that happen?
Yeah, good morning. First, I want to say how grateful I am that when you were in that place of despair that you turned to God instead of the alternative. Amen?
Thanks.
And, you know, I think of, you know, God pulled me out of the pit 12 years ago from just a destructive life of drugs and alcohol, and now he's able to allow me to give back and flow through me. But I think of this couple that came in a few months back, and they're so new, I can't really share details or their names because they're still in that vulnerable state. But a couple months ago, they came in, and they were just done. I mean, I think they were coming to Celebrate Recovery to go, we've tried everything, nothing's going to work. And just years of abusive behavior and abusive talk and name calling and pornography and frustration and anger and you know, they probably sat here for a lot of your messages and said, did you hear him? You need to listen to him. You know, they were just shooting all over each other. You know, you should. And so anyway, we talked after their first night, and
he didn't say what
should.
Should he? Did you all, were you all thinking the same thing?
I want to make sure. Sorry. You know, you should,
yeah,
you
yeah.
should. We, in recovery, we call that shooting on each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do that to our teenagers too. You should. And anyway, sorry.
It's all right. Let's not do that at 10:30.
Okay, all right. And so anyway, it's free comedy though. So anyway, they came up to me after their first night of Celebrate Recovery, and they're just like done. And I said, you know, let's try this. Would you, you've been together a long time. Could you just take the next 60 days, maybe just not look at the marriage, look at each other, just look inside and see what God wants. And so it was like at that point they turned to God and started just looking on the inside, and they started working this deal called recovery. And now a few months later, you know, I show up on Friday and I kind of have a front row seat to God's work, and I watch her go communicate and fellowship with the women she's getting connected with, and I watch him go and fellowship and eat dinner with the guys he's connecting with, and I just see a hope in their eye. And then a few times I've caught them leaving campus or actually holding hands again, and which is cool. But I see this hope, and they have a long way to go, but I see this hope that, you know, maybe God will rescue me, and maybe God will keep this marriage, and maybe God will keep our family together, you know? And I just get goosebumps talking about it. And then there's another guy I was thinking about when we talked this week that, you know, he had 28 years of abusing himself and self-destructive. He started smoking pot in fifth grade and led to alcohol and cocaine and a marriage that just left in wreckage and left his kids and wife behind, and just the wreckage it caused, and methamphetamines just ripped his soul out. And you know, he shared with me that he hit this place where he was just in desperation and hopeless, and he just thought, there's no way God's going to deliver me, man. And then he was just sinking. I mean, I'm over his head. And then he cried out to God. And God brought him to mission and a safe place with all of us. And then brought him in through the doors of Celebrate Recovery. And he started trying this deal. He got a sponsor. He worked the steps. And just plugged in. And now he's actually helped us start our next men's step study. He's leading that now. And you know, he's got a new way of living today. And instead of me telling that part of his story, just help me welcome up Mike. Let's have him come up and share a little bit with us.
Thanks, Mike.
So Mike's a good friend of mine now, and I'm honored to have him as a friend and just you know, share a little bit about what life's like today now on this side of it.
Man, it's life. I have hope. I have a future. There's so much peace and serenity in my life that I never had before. Just the waking up, not going through withdrawals, wondering where I was going to get my next high from. Knowing that I can wake up and take care of my three kids is just is huge. And seeing these relationships that because of choices I made were and just being so broken is really huge, just huge. And
so he's restored some of the relationships.
Oh yeah, I mean he's still in business for restoring. You know, he's in a process right now. You know, and it's exactly what it is a process. What took me 40 years to destroy, you know, he's given me a life back that like I'm just so grateful for today, right, in just a short 2 years, and it's
Well, speaking of that, you got some pretty cool things going on right now, man. Share with them.
Yeah, I do. There's two things. There's if I continue to follow God's plan for my life, a week from today, on the 26th, I'll be sober 2 years. And then, you know, with as Clayne mentioned, part of my story about me ruining my marriage and everything, and you know, just learning how to surrender to God and just trust Him. You know, He's put a God-fearing woman back in my life, who I'm proud to say that I'll be getting married this November, too. So amen. God's awesome.
That's awesome, brother. I love you, man.
And love you too.
You know, one other thing I want to mention is, a week from Friday, so it'd be July 31st, Mike's going to be sharing his whole testimony of how God has pulled him out of this pit of hell. And you're welcome to come. You don't have to be part of Celebrate Recovery. You just want to, you know, God's still in the miracle business. Amen.
Amen.
And so if you want to come on Friday night, July 31st, and just see how God's working and Celebrate Recovery and hear Mike's testimony, we'd invite you to just come at 7 o'clock and come check us out. So thank you for letting us share today.
Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Mike. Well, our God is a merciful, mighty rescuer of His people, right? And if you think that your thing is too far gone, if you think it's too big, I'm sure that's what Mike thought when he came into this place. He's like, no, that might be okay for other people. And I can see how other people got healed, but my life has been shattered. I've been working 40 years to shatter this thing. And it's just too far gone. And yet God steps into that situation. And as soon as Mike turned to Him, God turned to him and just brought this healing. And He will do that for you. He's a mighty, merciful rescuer of His people. And I just want to close with this and just invite you to do what Mike did, what David did, what I've done, what so many people here I've done, that wherever you're at and however high the water is, that you would turn to the Lord and you would cry out for His mercy, for Him to answer you, to bless you, and to deliver you right where you're at. And so would you just bow your head and pray with me? Father, I have, well, God, let me just say first, I'm just so thankful for your Son, so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for your love for us, God, that you would send your Son into this cesspool to die for us so that we might have forgiveness in His name through faith in Him, that our sin is paid for. God, I thank you so much for that. May that never grow old for us, God. And yet, God, I have a person in mind, Lord, that just so needs to receive mercy, Lord. So needs to be delivered. And yet, God, for that person, there's probably hundreds here right now who are in the same situation. That God, they're in something. And they're in the middle of it. And it's just getting thick and deep. And they're struggling to find a foothold. And God, they need your mercy. And Lord, we're going to trust your promise that when we turn to you, you will turn to us and answer. and rescue and come near. So God, I'm just going to give people an opportunity right now to just, in their own way, in the quietness of their own heart, God, that they would just turn to you. Would you demonstrate your faithfulness to all the people here that have just right now, Lord, they've asked you to rescue them, to deliver them, to answer them, Lord. God, would you just demonstrate your faithfulness to them? God, I want to be so bold, God, to ask, just even today, would you begin a process where they can even actually see it happening, that you start changing something or giving something or helping them in some way, God. Would you just be so faithful and so good to us, Lord, to demonstrate your faithfulness to people who have cried out to you today, Lord? God, we thank you. We thank you for your mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.